Hello, Miami. Hey, welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport Complex in Kendall. I want to invite you now to come and join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he brings another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Neil 6, I do want to share a thought that I think is absolutely crucial in the day and the age that we're living in. We are living in a time that the Apostle Paul described as perilous times. He said that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, know this, that in the last days, terrible or perilous times will come. You don't need to have a high IQ to understand that what we're seeing on the news each and every day, the stories that come out, are all pointing to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And in a way, what we are seeing is something that God is allowing for our eyes to be opened so that we can understand the time and the age in which we live in. Church, we have to be ready. We have to be ready. The things that you're seeing, the terrorist attacks, the nations against nations, the racial conflict. We could say that the racial conflict nowadays is higher than it's been ever since I can remember. And I'm 50-something. And in fact, I want to say this, and maybe this would be a good intro, because not next week, because we're having our Testimony Sunday, but the following week I'm going to begin either a 2 or 3 week series on the remedy to racial reconciliation. I want us to look at the racial conflict in this country from the standpoint of what does the Bible have to say about it. And I'm coming to you from the Bible, therefore I'm going to come to you from the point of authority. I'm going to share with you what the Scripture says. I'm going to share with you from a pastoral perspective. I hope you'll make it. I hope you'll come with an open heart and an open mind, because I do believe that our nation, the officials in this country, have no idea how to bring about reconciliation. Because all they're offering up are human reasons and human solutions to a problem that goes beyond the natural. One of the things I appreciate about this church is the incredible diversity. Do you realize that this church is really an exception when it comes to what takes place on Sunday mornings across this country? So you should thank God for that. You should thank God that this church looks more like heaven than the church down the street, or the church across the street. No, and I say that because you know, the diversity that's here, I believe, is reflective of God's heart. And it's unfortunate when we segregate ourselves, even in the most important time when we shouldn't be, during worship. Anyway, I'm getting off. You can understand that my wheels are already turning for 2 weeks from now. Don't miss it, because I believe that it's going to be a blessing to you and that it will be eye-opening. And at the very least, it'll give you some ammunition, not to kill anybody, ammunition how to pray more effectively. We need to know how to pray more effectively, don't we? And this is an issue that is extremely sensitive and very volatile, and any little thing, it's like a jug, a keg of powder. You just, any little spark will set it off. And guys, you are called to bring sense into a community that has lost its sense. You are called to bring answers in a world that really has no answers. You're called to hold high the banner of unity, okay, even though the whole world's fighting against each other. The only place where we have answers should be the church. And the church does have answers because we have the book, and the book's got answers. So if there's no answers, if we don't see anything being fleshed out, we don't see solution, we don't see peace, that only can mean one thing. We haven't gone to the book to find out what it has to say about the dilemma that we find ourselves in. Anyway, I digress. All that to say that we live in perilous times. Ready or not, those terrible times that Paul talked about are upon us. And the church has to be ready for these times. You have to be ready for these times because you are under attack. Your church is under attack. Your family is under attack. That's not something we want to hear. That's not something that we say even very often. But that's the truth of the matter. The nature of the war that we're in is that we are in an invisible spiritual battle. And the victors are those that understand that there's a battle. Now, you may not like the idea of battling, but listen, you have an enemy. And an enemy has set his sights on you. And whether you connect the dots or not, he's still going to bring his attack to you. Whether you believe it or not, it's in the Bible. It's got to be true. You have to believe it. The fact that you believe it or not does not make a difference whether the devil attacks you or not. Now, in my older age, I have grown quite passive. When I was a young one, I used to love to fight. It was like, I think my ADD kicked in. I used to get into a fight like every day. I lived in New Jersey, the streets of New Jersey. Like every single day, I was fighting someone about something. Well, you looked at me wrong. Well, what's up with you? Oh, it's your problem. No, you push me. No, you push me first. No, you push me. No, you'll see what happens if you push me. Every day I would get into a fight over these trivial things. And so, you know, I was a prime candidate for therapy. Some of you might say, you still are, Pastor. Okay, that's fine. Okay, that may be the case. But what happened is that after a while, I outgrew. I kind of outgrew that need to fight and to quabble. And in fact, in my high school years, I only got into one fight. And it wasn't even because I wanted to. It was just kind of like I was pushed into it because there was this gang. Now, gangs back then weren't like gangs of today. Today, a gang will kill you. They'll shoot up your house. They'll pass by. Listen, back then, the gangs were, you know, just like little turf wars between little teeny boppers. Like, you know, it wasn't any big thing. They just kind of beat you up. They kick you in the backside and send you home crying. And that's it. Okay. But that's the way it was. So I remember going once to my uncle's store. They lived a couple blocks away walking. And there was this guy named Anthony. Even that name Anthony, that still kind of conjures up. No, just kidding, man. But I got Anthony here. But Anthony, he had a gang that he was in charge of. And all of a sudden, I turned the corner and dun, 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 dun. There they are. And I'm just trying to mind my business. They're, okay, maybe across the street. And no, wherever I step, they'd step. And it was kind of like, where are you going, kid? And I'm there. Okay. And they kind of incited one of the kids in the gang to fight. And so I had to fight. I didn't want to. I had to. And sometimes you know that that's a situation. Sometimes you know that your kids, you know, it's good that you get them, you know, learning self-defense and learning things because you never know. If they bully you and you let them bully you, you will be miserable all your school years. Mom and dad, listen to me. Listen to me. If your kids are being bullied, you need to do something about it. No, don't go over, because don't go ghetto in their mom's, kid's mom's face. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm saying is that you need to give them proper instruction what to do in the event they run into bullying in school. Because if you allow them to get bullied, they will continue to be bullied. And that will make for a miserable, miserable time in school. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about, but I thought, anyway, I share the idea that I hated fighting. Now, you might think, you know, you might think that because you hate fighting, because you hate conflict, because you hate, you know, anything that has to do with that, that the devil's going to back off from you. And that's exactly what he wants you to think. Remain passive. Because here's the truth. The truth is that whether you back down or don't back down, the devil's going to bring the fight to you. And here's what happens oftentimes. Oftentimes, you know, we make a commitment. You know what? I'm making a commitment. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do something great. And you start seeing God working in your life, working in your behalf, doing great things, blessing you, giving you favor, giving you a job, giving you a promotion. But all of a sudden, the attack starts coming because the devil sees that. So all of a sudden, he wants to rob you of that blessing. So what does he do to rob you of that blessing? He begins the attack. And so here's what happens. You're committing more than ever before to serve God. You're going to make a difference in God's kingdom. But now you got the devil trying to subvert that, trying to divert you from that. And the attack comes. And if you're like most Christians, you know what happens when the attack comes? We kind of reel back a little bit. What does that look like? What that looks like is that instead of you serving God with that intensity, you kind of like, you draw a line in the sand, and it's almost like you reach a truce. We're saying, well, I'm serving God with all his intensity. I'm being attacked. This kind of attack wasn't as intense when I didn't serve God. And you kind of in your mind think, yeah, I'm being attacked by the devil. So let me back. I'm getting him upset. I don't want to upset him because I don't like fighting. So let me take a few steps back. And so what happens is that your commitment all of a sudden is reduced. And now because you reduce your commitment, and now all of a sudden because the devil's not attacking you with such ferocity, you think, I'm okay. I'm all right. But let me tell you, that's not where God wants you. No, God doesn't want you, you know, getting all beat up, engaging the devil. But what happens is sometimes we don't give it enough time. We're in the middle. The devil's attacking us. And we back out just before the breakthrough comes. And so what happens is that we wind up living nominal Christian lives without really accomplishing much. Why? Because we wanted to make a truce with the devil. Not really a shake hands kind of truce, but subconsciously this all works behind your mind. You know, we just kind of, let me just back down, because the more I serve God, the more intense the fight gets. And I don't want to experience that intensity. So let me just take it easy with my commitment. Let me just do some things for myself. Let me just, you know, do, you know, let me just go, you know, a little more passive in my commitment. And guess what happens? The devil succeeds in getting you to do exactly what he wanted you to do, because that was his objective to begin with. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. Right. And some of you know exactly what I'm saying. You know that that's exactly how it works. That, you know, you realize, man, I was sold out. I was fired up for God and I was doing great things. And so what happened? I don't know. I guess things started getting really rough. I think I started having problems at home. I think I started having interpersonal relationship problems at work. I think all of a sudden, you know, attacks came from every angle. So I just kind of backed away. And that's what happens oftentimes. We kind of tend to, you know, we back away the tendency. I'm telling you, you can't back away. Because look what it says in Peter. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Guess what Peter's saying? You better be alert, because even though you're going to try to shake hands with the devil and tell him, I don't bother you if you don't bother me, He's not going to keep that end of the bargain. You in your mind might say, I'm not going to go demon chasing. I'm going to leave you alone, but you need to leave me alone. Guess what? He's never going to leave you alone. He's never going to back down. And so what he's going to do, he's going to do something that we're all familiar with. He's going to set a trap for you. And our story, I told you to turn to Daniel, and we'll go quickly through the story of Daniel in the lion's den, because Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. I'm not even going to read the whole verse, the whole passage, but I do want you to read it. But Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and here's what I love about Daniel, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And the reason he was one of my favorite is because, listen, this guy was abducted, okay? He was abducted as a teenager from his homeland in Jerusalem. And he was taken captive to a foreign land, Babylon. And there he was forced to serve the Babylonian government. But even though he was forced to serve, all of a sudden God's favor was with him. And you know what happened? Daniel rose to the occasion and he became one of the most powerful men, not only in the Babylonian kingdom, because at that point the Babylonian kingdom shifted over to the Medo-Persian, or to the Persian kingdom. And he became one of the top-ranking officials in those two kingdoms. And what I love about him is the fact that, listen, this boy was completely committed and sold out to God as a teenager. Teens, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, the Apostle Paul said. Because you can do great things. The major revolutions of the world, as well as the major revivals of the world, have all been initiated by what? By young people. So our church, we need to continue to pray and back up those that are in the battlefront with our young people, and keep supporting them and keep praying for them. Why? Because the key to church growth, the key to revival, is in the hands of our young people and our young adults. Right? So all of a sudden, here's Daniel. And Daniel, all of a sudden, is being put in charge of 120 provinces. Not just him with three other officials. Daniel chapter 6. And what happens is that the two other administrators get jealous. Why Daniel? He's not even one of us. Talk about racial conflict. He's not one of us. He's the foreigner in the group. Okay, and so what they did is that they sprang a trap. They said, we're going to catch Daniel and something that he did. But here's what the Bible says about him, is that in everything he did it with excellence, and they found no fault, no corruption. What? A politician with no corruption? You got to be kidding me. Yeah, a politician with no corruption, a government official, a high-ranking official with absolute integrity. That was Daniel. And guess what happened? All of a sudden it says that these administrators got jealous. Let me tell you something. When you do a job and your job is well done, people are going to get jealous of you. Just because you do things right doesn't mean you're not going to create enemies around you. In fact, just the contrary. Because we were talking about this, I forget when we were talking about it, I think it was this past Wednesday, that your good works, you know what your good works do? Your good works light, okay, illuminate the bad works of the world. So whenever you decide to do something that's right, something that's just, something that's good, people that are not into the right, the just, the good thing, all of a sudden, they feel exposed. They feel like you're shining the flashlight on their nakedness. And they're like, no, please, not us. And they get angry with you. And you know what? And their claws come out. And that's exactly what happened here. Daniel was doing what was right. And all of these guys, they become envious. They become jealous. They become greedy. And so they couldn't catch him in the way he did his job. Let me tell you something. People are looking at how you do your job. And they're looking at it for an occasion, what? To accuse you. To accuse you of wrongdoing, to accuse you. And it says in the Bible that in everything he did, okay, there was no corruption or negligence. Ooh. He wasn't just eating up his master's time, his employer's time, and being lazy. And no, listen, there was no negligence. They found nothing to put a finger on him. But here's what they do. They come up with this idea. Okay, since we can't catch him and how he dispatches his profession, his career, his work, let's catch him in something else. We know he's a devoted man. We know he prays to his God three times a day. So how about this? How about we go to the king and we conspire against him and we And that's exactly what they did. They go to the king with this idea, and they tell the king, King, how about this, Your Majesty Darius? How about if you, because you've done such a great job, O king, because we extol you, because we honor you, because we venerate you, because there's none greater than you, King Darius. Because you're so great, how about we have a call, a time that for the next 30 days, no one in the kingdom is allowed to pray to any other gods except to you. Whoa. Really? You mean that? Pray only to me? And see, Darius did what most of us sometimes do, is that we forgot to think things through. We didn't think things through to the logical conclusion. And all of a sudden, the idea seemed good to him. And instead of looking at it from all sides, he says, okay, fine, let's sign it. And the law of the Medes and the Persians, according to the Bible, was a law that you can't change it. Once you sign it, it's good. It's done. And so all of a sudden, they had in their hands, okay, the law. The law what? The law that they felt was, this is the law that's going to condemn our nemesis, Daniel. That no good for nothing, goody two shoes, right? And so they got the law, and the trap was set. And so then all of a sudden, it says in the Bible that Daniel goes out to pray, right? You're going to follow, if you're following along with me. It says in verse 10, he went home. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done. They caught him. They caught him, and now his enemies became snitches, so they go snitch on him. The king, didn't you set this law? Yeah. Well, you know, Daniel is defying your law right to your very face. This is a double liar. And it says that the king, it doesn't say there, but by the wording, it's implied that he cared about Daniel because he had a sleepless night and he tossed and he wanted to see if there was a way that he can get Daniel out of this predicament. And when he realized that he couldn't get Daniel out of the predicament, he had no choice but to have him arrested and to have him thrown in the lion's den. Let's talk about the lion's den. Every one of us will experience some type of lion's den in our lives. A lion's den is something that threatens your livelihood, threatens your life, that will change, potentially, adversely affect your future. And the devil has a lion's den trap set for you. And it's not a matter of if you're going to go there. It's a matter of when. It's a matter of when. And he wants to catch you and he wants to throw you. But listen, so the key here, the issue here, is not are you going to be thrown in the lion's den. The real question is, will you survive when you're thrown into the lion's den? Because Daniel survived miraculously because his God was with him. You might say, well, you know what? Daniel was thrown to the lion's den because he was righteous. So I guess if I'm a little unrighteous, then I would never have experienced that. No, not at all. Because the lion's den is for everybody. The unrighteous, you're going to find out in a little while, they get thrown in the lion's den too. So the lion's den is not just for righteous people. Here's what's at stake. When you get thrown into the mouth of lions, will you survive or will you not survive? Your chances of survival in the lion's den are far greater when God is on your side than when God is not on your side. So guess what? I'm going to go into the lion's den. I might as well have someone with me that can make a difference rather than say I don't need God and go in there myself and try to do battle with a lion by myself. Have you seen a lion lately? We're not talking about a little kitty cat. Okay, those are some big dudes. Those are some big cats. Those are what, 500 pounds, 600 pounds? I mean, these are imposing. You thought your Rottweiler was big. Listen, he will eat your Rottweiler like a little rib. Okay, I mean, these are big. Okay, and so Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. And you need to understand, what is a lion's den experience for us? Well, I think anything that might threaten your life. When the doctor says, I can't do anything for you. When a surgeon opens you up and says, it's stage four, it's all over, it's metastasized everywhere. That's a lion's den experience. Maybe you have a son serving in the military. And the knock comes on your door. Something happened overseas and your son didn't make it. That's a lion's den experience. Maybe your spouse that you love with all your heart that was the world to you, maybe they've told you they don't want anything else to do with you. Guess what? You're in the lion's den. Maybe you're here in this country and you were hoping that you could stay and you've extended, you know, you've expired your visa and all of a sudden you got news back from the government saying, I got an order of deportation. That's a lion's den. And you can imagine, you know, how many other things fit into that category. So what do you do when you're in the lion's den? What do you do when you're in the lion's den? If you look at the story, what happens is something miraculous takes place because all of a sudden the king throws Daniel in there and he can't even sleep that night. And he goes back up the next morning. First thing, he runs over to where Daniel is. And I want you to notice in verse 17, it says that he sealed the den so that no one can rescue Daniel. I love that. Why? There are problems and issues that you go through that no one can rescue you from. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? That's not necessarily a bad thing, okay? No one can rescue me from. That only means one thing, that if no one can rescue me from, then it's only going to have to be God. That's what Daniel is involved in right now. He's not involved in a situation that man can. The doctor's not going to bail him out. Okay, it's a little too late to have an appeal in the court. He's in the den right now. It's a little too late to do any of the man-made stuff. I need a divine, supernatural intervention and encounter with God. But here's why I tell you, it's not a bad thing, because God is more than willing to do that. And we see that throughout the Bible, God intervenes miraculously aside or without the aid of man. Right? And so God came in the scene, and it says that when Daniel was in the den that very morning, the king cried out to him. And the king says, Daniel, was your God that you serve with all your heart able to save you from the mouth of the lions? He's listening. And he's hearing lions. He might hear growling. He might hear even lunging, the lions trying to lunge and get at him. And all of a sudden, he hears the voice. And I love this because it says here that Daniel spoke back to him in verse 21, long live the king. See, I think when you read it, I think that Daniel's saying to the king, King, I want you to think that I'm referring to you when I say this, but I'm really referring to God. Long live the king! And the king is thinking, okay, cool. Right? The king is thinking, okay, this is cool. But I think he's saying it to Jesus, saying, long live the king. And then he says, my God, verse 22, says, my God sent this angel to shut the lion's mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I've been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. Amazing. And so the king pulls him out. And here's the thing, because some people are saying, well, maybe, you know, lions go through feeding cycles. Lions go through feeding cycles, and maybe they just weren't hungry. Maybe they were just fed the day before. Maybe they were fed a nice couple big cows or whatever, and they just were not interested in a Jewish boy. Maybe, you know, they weren't hungry. But here's how you know that that's not true, because look at the following verse. The following verse, it says that the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously concocted this story about Daniel, this trap, and they threw him in the lions, and along with their wives, along with their children. But check out what it says at the end of verse 24. It says, the lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Are you getting this mental picture that Daniel's in the den and the lions are circling, but the angels have come and shut the mouths? You're not going to do anything. In fact, not only are you not going to do anything, it's cold down here. You're going to serve as a lion skin rug for Daniel to keep warm at night. And there's not going to be a scratch on him. And it says, there wasn't even a scratch on Daniel. It wasn't like they even tried to claw him. Well, I can't chew you, but let me just claw you to death. No, not even that. I said, all of a sudden, when Daniel was removed, the anointing, the angelic anointing was removed, and now those mouths were open that they threw the enemies down. And I want you to picture what happened. Before they even got to the bottom of the den, they were dead. Those dudes were hungry. Those dudes were hungry. Now, we see God's rescue in a miraculous way there. What we don't know just yet is how was it that God did something so great in Daniel's life. I want you to look at a couple of things that Daniel did. Daniel chose integrity over inconsistency. He says, no matter what, come hell or high water, sink or swim, live or die, I'm not going to go back. I will not let the name of my God be evil spoken of. I will maintain my integrity. Think about that word integrity. Integrity means one. Anybody can be a good Christian on a Sunday morning. In fact, today you guys look great. You guys are the best looking Christians I know today. But now, Sunday afternoon is a different story. In the parking lot, maybe a different story. You may be running each other off. You may be, you know, doing all kinds of... Listen, integrity means that what you say is one with what you do. One of the problems in church is that we live a split personality life. We have a Christian personality on Sundays. We have a non-Christian personality on Mondays. On Sundays, we praise God. We say how good God is. And on Mondays, we're cussing like drunken sailors. We're lying like cheaters. I mean, what comes out of us is completely inconsistent with the message and the proclamations that we make on Sunday morning. That wasn't the case with Daniel. He was a man of integrity. He chose integrity. He also chose commitment over comfort. Ooh, commitment over comfort. That today so much of our commitment is based on our comfort. I will commit if it's comfortable. If it's comfortable, if it suits my fancy. But Daniel, listen, I want you to know, Daniel could have gotten bitter. He didn't get bitter. He could have become angry. He didn't become angry. He was pretty much kidnapped from his parents, ripped apart from his parents. Guess what? Not only that, he was castrated as a young man. Why? Because they wanted to make sure that the young men weren't around chasing the young women in the king's court. So you know what? We're going to take care of that. Snip, snip. Yeah. And yet he still maintained his commitment. He did his job with excellence. And you know what else he did? He chose faith over fear. The devil wants to keep you in a place where you fear him. It's imposing to think that you have lions. But I want you to think biblically with me. The devil walks around as a roaring lion. But there is another lion. If there's something that lions fear, is a bigger and stronger lion. That's the law of the jungle, right? And who is the bigger and the stronger lion, biblically speaking? Come on, say it again, ladies. Say it again. Lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. So all of a sudden, guess who's on your side? Amen. Listen, you don't have to fear lions. Why? Because you got the king of the lions. You got the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's on your side. He's on my side. And here is the weapon that Satan uses against us. If you would just keep afraid, and if you would just, you know, walk around with constant anxiety, can you imagine Daniel with his anxiety, biting his nails down to the bone because pacing the floor back and forth, what's going to happen? They're going to throw me in the jail, and should I pray? Should I not pray? No, not at all. He chose to maintain faith. The miracle that you're expecting comes when you exercise faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, even though the story doesn't talk about Daniel, Hebrews 11 talks about Daniel. And it says, by faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. Who do you think that was referring to? Daniel. By faith. So he chose faith. You got to choose faith over fear. Fear will come against you, and it will debilitate and weaken, and it will trample to the ground your faith. But you got to maintain a high level of faith. And here's the last thing that Daniel did. Daniel chose gratitude over complaining. Ooh. It says 3 times a day, he went to this house, he prayed, and he gave God thanks. What do you mean he gave God thanks? You're about to be thrown into the lion's den. Give God thanks. What do you mean, give God thanks? I just lost my son. Give God thanks. What do you mean, give thanks? The doctor just told me to pack up my bags and to go to hospice because I only have but 2 weeks to live. Give God thanks. Daniel could have complained. And he had a lot to complain about. We just talked about some of the things that he could have. You know, his childhood was ripped from him. He had no childhood. Serving as a slave. But God used him to be one of the greatest personalities in the Bible. Why? Because he was a man of commitment. He was a man of gratitude. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of faith. You want to overcome the lion's den experiences in your life? You got to choose commitment. You got to choose faith. You got to choose integrity. You got to choose gratitude. With those things, the angels of God are going to come down and they will shut the mouths of lions for you. Let me pray with you guys. Maybe you're here today. I just want you to do me a favor. Just close your eyes. Just as a way of keeping these next few moments private, and you're going through a lion's den type of experience in your life. I'm not even going to ask you to come forward, but I would like to pray for you right where you are. Maybe that lion's experience, lion's den, maybe you're going into a deep depression. Maybe you're battling an addiction. Something that's threatening your life. Maybe you're about to lose your house. Maybe you've lost your job and your ability to provide for your family. You're in the lion's den right now. If you're in the lion's den, I'd like to pray with you. And I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand right where you are? Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 or 10 people. Thank you, Lord, that the Bible story tells me that no one could rescue Daniel. Yet, you're the one that rescued him. I pray today, Lord, that you would send your ministering angels to every hand that was raised today. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Lord, you see these lions' dens. Lord, you see these storms raging. Lord, you see the desperation. You see the need, Lord. We pray today for supernatural deliverance in the name of Jesus. We pray for the power, of your glory, the power of your might to be manifest in every situation. Father, may faith rise up and may that miracle come down. May you shut the mouths of those attackers. Father, in the name of Jesus, may you stop the onslaught and begin to make a way where beforehand there seemed to be no way. You can carve out, Lord, a stream in the desert. You can make water gush from a rock. You who can make the axe head to swim, the walls of Jericho to crumble, the Red Sea to open. Lord, you can come on each individual scene right now and, Lord, infuse it with your miracle-working healing power. So we pray right now for a release, for deliverance, for a changing of the story. The story will not end in tragedy. It will end in triumph. It will not end in defeat. It will end in deliverance. Because you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And you break every chain. And you heal every disease. And you cause all the other lions to flee. Ha! Come on. So we command those lions. So I want you to repeat after me. Say, lion devil, get out and leave me alone. In the name of Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lions go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Integrity, commitment, gratitude, faith. Those are what you need to survive the perilous times that we're in. Church, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't acquiesce. Don't back down. Don't get soft. Don't negotiate, because our breakthrough's coming. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.